Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Hot Take Podcast for episode 28. On today's show, unfortunately, Lawrence could not make it, so we have a special guest, EJ Jasmine, joining us for this episode. On today's show, we talk all about the New York Knicks, the Timberwolves, Joel Embiid, bad teammates, LaMelo Ball even, and to end it all off, Jeremy Lin and his impact these past couple days. Hope you guys enjoy.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. But today, Lawrence is not joining us. In his place, we have our friend EJ. What's good, EJ? How you been, bro?
What's up? Thanks for having me back.
Hey. Thanks for being on. Thank you. What's up, Nat? How you been, bro?
I've been doing good, man. Doing good. Just living life. So
that's what's up. So we recorded recently. We recorded on Friday because we had to re-record our episode from last week. So it's been a short weekend, but nevertheless, there's still been a lot of stories that's come out over the weekend. And that's actually what we're going to dive into today. Starting with one of the more odd stories. I thought this was kind of funny. Talking about the Hawks and Thunder and their wardrobe malfunction the other night. Did you guys see that?
I saw a glimpse of it.
Oh, yeah.
What happened exactly?
So basically what had happened was there was a miscommunication with – so every game they pre-select what jerseys they're going to wear. And apparently the Hawks said, okay, on this day we're going to wear this jersey. And the Thunder said, okay, we're going to wear this jersey. And whoever the middleman is checked off and said, okay, yeah, this is good to go. So when the team showed up, it's kind of like, wait, what the heck? And they played a whole first half. And for people who didn't see, like the Hawks were in their red and yellow jerseys. And the Thunder were in their bright orange ones. But the colors look very, very similar on screen. And like there's all these things about like, you know, how do you know who you're going to pass to and whatnot. And so at halftime, mind you, the Thunder were the home team. So technically they have a choice of what jerseys they wear. The visiting team has to kind of, you know, bend to whatever the home team is wearing. But in this case, the Hawks being the visiting team, they didn't bring spare jerseys. So the Thunder had to switch at halftime into their usual, you know, home colorway.
Like white.
EJ, right? Like what? Yeah, they had to wear white. EJ, like, what did you think of this whole debacle? Like, what were your takes on that?
Man, coming from someone who played in a few leagues and where we don't have, you know, an alternate jersey to go to, that's got to be like the worst thing to play with. I must have had like 20 turnovers a few times that this happened. It's sometimes you base your player on what they're wearing, you know, like your teammate. And when the other team is wearing the same color, you just kind of be like, hey, take it. It's hard to see. And that definitely affected gameplay, like nothing else.
For Nat, like I'm sure you've played like pickup games and stuff like that. You ever experienced when like you say, for example, your teammate's wearing like a blue sleeveless and then somebody on the opposing team is also wearing like a blue sleeveless, you know, it's just kind of like quick trigger, like, oh, this person's open, you know, easy turnover. or like
in the peripheral, ever, like you trying to like dish out the, you know, the pass to the side.
It's not fun.
Exactly. Or you have that one guy who like they know that they were in the same color as your teammate, so they try to trick you like on a fast break. They're like, woo, woo. You know, and you pass it to them, and it's like, yeah, I hate that person.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that a lot, actually.
I'm not going to lie. So have I. You know, this also reminded me, like, if you guys ever played, like, 2K, you know, and, like, you want your team to wear, like, a certain colorway, and, like, you have a visiting team coming in, and they wear, like, a similar colorway, it could be really confusing. I mean, of course, you're playing a video game, so it's easier, but real life, man, I don't know how they did it for a whole half. I would have been so confused.
I don't know if y'all remember, but in 2K, I forgot which 2K it was, but Kenny Martin and Carmelo wore the same exact accessories. They would have the same headband,
true,
same color arm sleeve, and
yep.
I would always shoot threes with Kenyon Martin.
Oh, now imagine that in real life. One of the other stories that came out, because last week's episode we talked about all-stars, right? We talked about, like, you know, who the all-star starters are, who the reserves are, people that were snubbed. And one of the ones that we brought up, and like we're talking about it now because it's bigger scope, because people pointed this out. The San Antonio Spurs are the only team above 500, you know, a winning record without an NBA All-Star. Like, for you, in your opinion, do you think someone like a DeMar DeRozan should have been an All-Star, especially when the team itself is above 500 and you have other All-Stars who are in teams that are below 500, but yet they're producing an All-Star? What do you think about the San Antonio Spurs not having an All-Star?
It's kind of hard to say, because for sure they should have an All-Star on their team, because look at what they're doing, especially in the West. West is tough as hell. But from like a player perspective, it's kind of hard to see who DeMar could replace. I don't really know anyone on the West who is worse than DeMar. And I love DeMar. I'm a big DeMar DeRozan fan. But As much as I love Pop and the Spurs, it's just sometimes it's just who the better player is. Over winning teams. You know what I mean?
Right. Now for you, like, would you, if you had the opportunity to, would you trade out DeMar for one of the all-star reserves from the West?
Oof. That's a good question. Actually, yeah, I would. Zion. I don't like Zion there. I don't think he should be an all-star. Really? I mean, you know, he's been balling out of his mind, but I mean, when it comes to impact, the Pelicans have been kind of low-key these past few games. And I don't, you know, just because of the hype that Zion carries with him, that's probably what got him to be an all-star. But looking at just, you know, how the team performs and like the record, you know, DeMar DeRozan is clearly the better person in that sense, not, you know, as a player individually. But again, it's, you know, it's all about popularity. And, you know, San Antonio doesn't carry that much, you know, weight for DeMar DeRozan. Like Zion, who's gotten like his high school following, his college following, and then now here, like in New Orleans, like he's got more reach with him. So that's why.
You know, that's one of the things that I agree with. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Like we mentioned before, it is a popularity contest. So like, of course, even though DeMar, you know, his numbers might be, you know, better, he's on a better team, you know, they're winning, as opposed to some of these guys who are all-stars and they're on losing teams. You know, like you take, for example, the Chicago Bulls. You know, Zach LaVine. However, Zach LaVine has been balling out. You know, last year, Zach was an all-star mainly because his team was terrible. Or like you look at, actually we'll get into that later, but like, you know, Bam Adebayo or, you know, Jimmy Butler, supposedly they're not all-stars because their team is bad. You know, that was one of the knocks against them. Here you have DeMar DeRozan and his team is good, yet he himself is not an all-star. But I also think it's his production. Maybe, yeah, you know, he's putting up decent numbers, but there's nothing staggering that's deserving of an all-star. And I don't know about you guys, but for me personally, I feel like after the departure of Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker, I feel like some way the Spurs have become kind of irrelevant. You know, there's no Kawhi. Like, yeah, you brought in LaMarcus, but like LaMarcus is kind of already like heading towards the tail end of his career. And like, yeah, like DeMar is an amazing talent. Don't get me wrong. I wish Miami could have DeMar. But I feel like the market that he's in is not as a big market as it used to be. You know what I mean? So I feel like that kind of hurted. Like I said, hurted. That kind of hurt his chances too of being an all-star. Speaking of all-stars, the next all-star we're going to talk about showed like a little bit more of his arsenal. He had a new move in his repertoire. Talking about Joel M. Harden. Not Joel Embiid. Joel and Harden busted out this crazy step back. I don't know if you guys saw this. EJ, did you see this, this step back jumper?
Yeah, of course I saw that.
All right, tell me, what were your thoughts on Joel Embiid's step back?
And I got a faster step back than that. But if he hits that all the time, though, that's pretty much unstoppable. I mean, he's like, is he 7 feet? I don't know if he's like 6'10".
He's 7 feet.
But if he's 7 feet, seven. And he hits those, He could hit threes, mid-range, whatever. He has the offensive talent, and if he hits that consistently, sheesh, he's got crazy talent. I honestly think, in my opinion, he's MVP of the season.
Ooh,
so far.
Okay.
He's my MVP choice so far. And that step back just made me dislike him even more.
Now, what were your takes? When you first saw this step back, what were your takes from it?
The first thing that I thought of when I saw this step back was Nets in four. At that point,
Stop it.
But no. But on the real though, I mean, that move was nasty. Like, when you see on Twitter, like the videos, you see the caption first and then you see the video afterwards. So like, you know, I think the caption was like, this is insane, or like, this footwork is incredible. And I was like, nah, it can't be. So when I see the video, I'm like, oh my God, what? This guy's on something else. This guy's what? Like, I was literally shocked. Like, I couldn't even believe that. But yeah, it's scary for all the centers out there in the league trying to defend that. Good luck. But yeah, that's in four.
I mean, I agree with both of you. I feel like, of course, you know, his numbers don't lie. Like, he's definitely playing as, you know, he's in that MVP category for sure. And like right now, I feel like he's in the front running for it. I also feel, you know, I agree, he's trouble for big men, for other big men in the league. I feel like he's also trouble for smaller players. You try to go small with Joel Embiid, and he's hitting a jumper like that. He's hitting step backs like that. Like, granted, he's doing that over big men. How much more over, like, smaller players? Even though he doesn't need to. Just the fact that he could do it, I feel like that makes him even more unstoppable. You mentioned his footwork, and we talked about this in the last episode where his conditioning this season is probably the best it's ever been, you know, since he's been in the league. Because he can give you this all four quarters instead of, you know, for a half or like for a quarter and a half. He's giving it to you all four quarters. And I feel like if he's able to make moves like this happen on a day in, day out basis, this makes him even more unstoppable. And if he's this unstoppable, the only person that can stop him is himself. I don't care what you say about the Nets. I'm still not fully convinced on the Nets. Who's going to stop him from the Nets? Who? DJ? There's no way.
Kevin Durant, bro. Kevin Durant.
What? He'll back him down. Joe will back him down.
It's all right.
And like, again,
I don't know. Claxton. That dude Claxton will. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, man.
That is blasphemous.
Claxton.
Oh man!
Oh my goodness! You know, honestly, after talking about the Nets, you know, all episode last episode, I'm kind of done talking about the Nets. Let's talk about the other New York team. Talk about EJ's boys. There we go.
Yeah,
the OGs know. The New York Knicks.
The Knicks own this.
That's right. Exactly.
That is true.
Exactly. It is a New York Knicks team. Yes, 100%. 100%. And speaking of the Knicks.
Sorry, Nets fans.
Speaking of the Knicks, they're back on the map. I say that because this is their best record for February since 2017. So it's been a hot 4 years since they've been this good in the month of February. Yeah.
They're 2017. I was thinking like 2012.
I think that was their like their last good season, you know, where they made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, we had 54 wins that season.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I feel like with this season, they're tied for fourth right now. You know, and I told people during preseason, don't sleep on the Knicks, and this is why. Being the avid Knicks fan that you are, EJ, how proud are you of the Knicks? Or do you think they're going to get better? What do you predict for the New York Knicks?
Man, just the way that they play has been, you know, even if they had a losing record, like, what are they right now, 17 and 15? If it was the other way around, if it was like 15 to 17, I would still be proud. They're playing defense. Mm-hmm. They're hustling. They're showing heart. They're going after everything. They're just a scrappy team with a lot of team chemistry, and that's what you love to see in any team, not just the Knicks, any team. But the fact that they're fourth, despite, you know, it is a weak-ass conference. The fact that they're fourth itself is just, it's amazing. Based on what people thought off of last season, it's such a huge change. And the NBA is better when the Knicks are good, when the Knicks are enjoyable. That's all I got to say, man.
That's a good take.
Let me ask you, like, the scary thing about this Knicks team is they're not even fully healthy yet. Like, I feel like you have Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. you know, he's been out with injuries. You know, he had Obi that was out for, you know, a couple of injuries. Now Obi's going to be in the dunk contest, apparently. And now your all-star, Julius Randle. Julius Randle is also going to be part of the skills challenge. So we know how EJ feels. We know how EJ feels about the Knicks. Nat, for you, being, you know, just, I know you're, we all know you're a Lakers fan and whatnot, but EJ said it, you know, the NBA is better. EJ said the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. To you, Nat, do you think that this Knicks team is fun? Are they fun to watch?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, honestly, I don't watch the Knicks, but in terms of like who they have on their team and how they're playing, they're definitely fun to watch. I saw a tweet from Legion Hoops today talking about the Knicks. They quoted Brian Windhorst from ESPN saying that he thinks that a superstar might want to trade to go to New York or want to go to New York in the next few years. I mean, you know, that's got to be a testament. EJ's, I guess that'll be a testament to how well they're playing right now. And to you know, like their potential. Cap? Oh, Cap. Oh, all right. That's Cap. That's not. Man, happening. I thought you wanted that. But
I want it, but that's not gonna happen.
but definitely, I mean, they're a young team and they've got heart, and you know, it shows in their being fourth place. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I at first I didn't pick them to be in the playoffs. We know this from our past episodes, but I'm starting to regret that. I'm sorry. I have to apologize to EJ. I'm sorry, EJ. I doubted your team. And Lawrence, too. Lawrence, I'm sorry, man. I doubted your team.
Yeah.
But
apology denied.
It's all right. As long as I said it, it's fine.
EJ, let me ask you this. Because Nat mentioned that, you know, there's talks that a potential superstar would want to request a trade or sign with the New York Knicks. And I know how Knicks fans feel about this, right? We've heard it so many times in the past. Kevin Durant coming to the Knicks, or this player coming to LeBron coming to the Knicks, this person coming to the Knicks, and it never happens. With the current roster that you have right now, do you think this team, do you like this team more as it is, or would you prefer to see a superstar on the team?
I think everyone would prefer to see a superstar on the team. But the problem with that, like, I think I'm a rational Knicks fan. I'm not one of those Knicks fans to be like, yo, we're getting Zion. Like,
right.
You had a 14% chance of that happening. Like, nah. But if a superstar came in and it was to do it to a trade, I feel like that would really mess up team chemistry, which is probably more important than just having a superstar on the team.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah, because when we got Melo, that Melo trade, at first I loved it because it's Carmelo. But it took away three key players, Raymond Felton, Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler. Yes. They were huge in just playing together. And that's probably why the Knicks, you know, they were only like, I think the eighth seed that year, and they got kicked off by Miami. Shut up, PJ. I think team chemistry is a lot more important. But if a superstar comes in due to just, you know, a signing, I would open them with open arms, man. Unless it was like KD or something.
See, like for me, like, of course, like, I'm a Heat fan. Everybody knows that. But in terms of the Knicks, I actually like that roster when it was, you know, Raymond Felton, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Amari Stoudemire. And you had Amari as like, that was your superstar. Like, I love that team because there was something about them, which you kind of see with Miami right now, right? Like, yes, we have Jimmy Butler, but a lot of people don't consider him as a superstar. And you look at the rest of the roster, it's a bunch of like, just kind of like a bunch of no names, guys that overachieve. It kind of reminds me of that Knicks team. And to me, that Knicks team was really, really fun to watch because of their chemistry. And they were given, like, they had, you know, decent number of wins. Like, they, you know, they, I think they would have made the playoffs for sure that season, regardless of the trade. And of course, you know, when Melo came and J.R. Smith came, like, that, you know, Novak and J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, like, that team was so electrifying because you're shooting threes left and right. Like, they were a lot of fun to watch, you know, but I kind of feel like you took away long-term from what the Knicks could have been. And I feel like what Miami's doing right now, building up through the draft, you know, undrafted players, you get, like, one solid player who is an all-star caliber player, and you build around that. You're building for your future. And I said the same thing. I was like, there's all this talks about Giannis going to Miami. And originally I'm like, yeah, you know, let's do it. We need Giannis, da-da-da-da, whatever. But at the same time, I didn't want to have to give up a Duncan Robinson or a Tyler Hero to make that happen because of chemistry purposes. And I feel like what the Knicks have right now, like, I think you just have, like, a nice knit, you know, group of players. You got D Rose there, Julius Randle's coming into his own. RJ Barrett's only going to get better. Then you got Quickly. Quickly's like, he's surprising a lot of people. And then on top of that, you got Mitchell Robinson and Obi Toppin. Like, I feel like this team is just so exciting to watch. Like, if I were the Knicks, you know, just let it ride. Just ride it out. You know, don't make any, like, rash decisions right now. Just ride it out. You're 4 in the East right now. Tied for 4th. Let's see what happens. On the flip side, talking about teams, you know, and the Knicks are progressing. We're talking about now one of the worst teams in the league. The Minnesota Timberwolves. The Lakers. I feel like this team.
What?
I feel like, you know, I feel like this Wolves team is just so sad to watch. It's almost like they're like the Houston Texans of the NBA. Like, nothing is going their way. They're letting star players go, star players getting hurt, not taking care of the star players. Ricky Rubio, I don't know if you guys saw what Ricky Rubio said, but I'll just quickly read a quote that Ricky Rubio had. He said, "We have the worst record in the league. We lost way too many games by 20-plus, and I don't feel like this is building something. At one point, we got to start wanting to change something, and it's not happening." EJ, what's your take on the current condition of the Minnesota Timberwolves? Do you think this is something they could turn around, or are they doomed for the rest of the season?
They're definitely done for the season. I have no faith in them. I honestly thought at the beginning that they would fight for a playoff spot. You know, Cat, D'Lo, Anthony Edwards, sleeper pickup and Malik Beasley. I had kind of high hopes for them. But watching them play is just a mess. Their defense is a mess. Poor Towns had to go through whatever he had to go through, which is tough.
Right.
Which I think did affect him, and especially, you know, getting COVID. That definitely set the T-Wolves even further back. So it's not, I think they just got to blow it all up. Yeah.
Nat, for you and the Minnesota Timberwolves, what do you think needs to happen for them to kind of turn things around?
Nothing. They're doomed. I don't think there's any hope, no hope for them at all. They're just too bad right now. I'm sorry. Like, those teams that face the T-Wolves, like, in their seasons, that's a free win. Like, that's a free win. You don't even got to go that hard. Like, you're going to guarantee, that's a guaranteed win right there for you. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that's what I feel like when the Lakers, like, beat the T-Wolves. I was like, yeah, I knew it. Even though they didn't have AD or Schroeder, I was like, yeah, they're going to win that for sure. You know, like, but then they lost the rest. But what I'm trying to say is that the T-Wolves, I mean, all hope is lost. Free Ricky Rubio, I guess.
Man, I feel so bad for Ricky Rubio because he was actually drafted by the Wolves, right? And then he had, like, he went on to go play for, like, some, you know, type of successful teams like the Jazz, the Suns. You know, he was doing some work there. Then to come back to the Timberwolves to be in this situation, now he being the veteran, you know, it's got to be hard. And, like, we talked about this before this season even started when we did our preseason predictions. I know Nat and I, I don't think we had the Minnesota Timberwolves anywhere near, you know, the top 8. I think Lawrence might have. I think he had them maybe in the play-in range. But the reason I know the Timberwolves are bad is because you have somebody like Jimmy Butler. And we saw what he did in Philly. We saw what he does now in Miami. remember when he was in Minnesota and he got the hell out of there?
Forgot about that.
Because he knew. He knew, like, that team was toxic. And that's the type of thing where it starts from the top down. So I feel like if there's anything that needs to happen, anything that needs to change, it's got to start at the top. I don't know what they're doing over there, you know, front office wise, but it's not, clearly not going well. And I feel really bad for Carl Anthony Towns because I feel like you're wasting prime years. You know, he's no bum. Like, he is a talented player. And I feel like the Timberwolves, you saw this a little bit with Philly. Philly was so accustomed to losing because it was the whole trust the process. You know, we're going to get draft picks. We're going to build through the draft. And losing became part of the culture there. And that hurt them with their progress. Until this season, you see that with, you know, you bring a new coach, a new GM. There's a different dynamic to the Sixers now. They're number one in the East. I feel like something like that needs to happen to the Timberwolves. Otherwise, they're just going to keep sucking. They're going to be at the bottom of the league for years to come. And then you're going to waste years for Ricky Rubio. You're going to waste years for Carl Anthony Towns, D'Lo, and for Anthony Edwards. And, like, these guys aren't bums. Like, they're talented players. They're fun to watch. It's just a sad situation to see them in. I don't know. I feel like, I agree with both of you. This season is a wash for the Wolves. Complete wash.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to our last top story. Yeah. Our last top story, the one-time New York Knick, Joakim Noah, has officially retired.
Don't remind me of that.
EJ, to you, how will Joakim Noah... I think
we just stopped paying him like last year.
How do you think Joakim Noah will be remembered?
His jump shot.
Yeah.
I actually like Noah. Noah and the Bulls was a lot of fun to watch. You know, I like them scrappy. I like them, you know, playing with heart and hustle and everything. His skill, not really. Didn't have much skill, but he hustled his way into a defensive player of the year. And that's something, you know, people will remember. And the fact that he was the pillar on that Bulls team, known for its defense, I'm sure the Bulls fans will remember him for a real long time and probably consider him a legend. I wouldn't, because he really messed up on the Knicks. But I liked him. He was fun to watch.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say he changes his mind and he doesn't want to retire. He wants to give it one more go. And currently the L.A. Lakers need a big man. Do you go for Joakim Noah, or you let him retire?
I'd rather start Jared Dudley for 40 minutes a game than pick Joakim Noah. So the answer is no. I don't want that guy on the Lakers team. But no, he's a legend though. Like what EJ said, you know, he's his jump shot is a memorable thing that we used to witness every time. So I mean, that's one thing. But if you're asking the question of, you know, if he were to, like, not retire and be on the Lakers team, I would – if I was Rob Pelinka, I'd be like, nah, no, don't even try.
All right, let me ask EJ first and then Nat. EJ, do you think Joakim Noah, throughout his career, was underrated, properly rated, or overrated?
Ooh, that's kind of hard.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
I think the media kind of underrated him. I don't think they appreciated – the defense he really brought, because it didn't really come out with stats. Yeah, he won Defensive Player of the Year once. I think he could have won it multiple times on the Bulls. But the fact that, you know, it didn't come out with a lot of stats, like maybe Dwight Howard did when he won Defensive Player of the Year, they definitely, you know, did I say overrated or underrated?
You said underrated.
Okay. Well, whatever I said before, throw that out. The media underrated him. But as, like, from what I see on, like, Twitter or, you know, Instagram, it's still underrated. You know, people hate on him because he don't bring stats and his jump shot is broken as hell. So I would say he was, throughout his career, he's pretty underrated. Except now. Now he's overrated.
What about you, Nat? Throughout the course of his career, how would you rate him? Underrated, properly rated, overrated?
I think I'm at the side with EJ on that one. He's pretty on spot with that. Like he was definitely underrated all these years. And now, like, you know, when the Clippers signed him, I was like, what? Like, you want Joakim Noah? But yeah, now it's kind of overrated. But, you know, these past years that, you know, we've seen him on the Bulls, definitely a defensive savant. But now he's just, you know, good he's retiring.
See, I agree with both of you guys. I said he was underrated. And I feel like a part of his game that people overlook is his passing. Like, he was known for his defense. Like, he was a lockdown, you know, defender. You know, a smaller guys, bigger guys, didn't matter. He could hold his own. But he was also a really good passer. Like, he was, at one point in time, like, there was a couple games where he would lead in assists. You know, because he would always play, like, top of the key. And he could feed it, you know, to whoever the center was or the other power forward was or whoever the cutter was. He had, like, underrated vision for somebody his size. And you guys mentioned the defense, you know, that speaks for itself. One of the other things I liked about Joakim Noah, EJ alluded to it also. You look at guys like for Miami last year, Jay Crowder. For the Clippers and the Lakers, you have the Morris twins. You know, you have these guys on your team who don't take nothing from nobody. You know, they'll get in your face and they don't care. Like they want that smoke. They want all that smoke. That was Joakim Noah. Joakim Noah stood up to the king, to LeBron James, and he did not care. Zero Fs were given. Clapping, you know, in their faces, you know, whenever the big three were like arguing, yelling at Mario Chalmers, like you see Joakim Noah, you know, being annoying. Or like when before LeBron came to Miami and he was still in Cleveland, everybody remembers the soundbite of Joakim Noah. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, he's like, why should I be scared of Cleveland? Yeah. He's like, who? He's like, I never heard anybody wanting to go to Cleveland on vacation. You know what I mean? Like, he really did not care. He did not care. And I love that. I love players that are like that, where they don't care. You know, like, they want all that smoke. And I feel like that's another aspect of his game that was severely underrated. You needed guys like that. You know, Enes Kanter has that. He didn't back down from LeBron James either. You know, I liked him on the – I liked Enes Kanter on the Knicks. You know, maybe he didn't produce, but he gave you that attitude, you know, that in your face that I like. So before we move on to our hot takes, just real quick, yes or no. EJ, is Joakim Noah a Hall of Famer?
No.
Nat, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Nah.
See, I feel like...
Straight up, no.
I feel like voting nowadays, they're so like lenient. They always make jokes like anybody makes into the Hall of Fame. I think he sneaks in there. I do. You know, he got at least the one defensive player of the year. I think he sneaks in there. But we'll see. You know, only time will tell. So let's move on to our hot takes to kind of round out the show. I wanted to ask you guys... You know, EJ, which is more impressive to you? Zion dunking on somebody or Zion bumping into somebody as he takes it up, either for a layup or for a dunk? Which do you enjoy watching more?
Okay. Of course, what's entertaining is the dunk. Everyone loves dunking. Everybody loves seeing dunks. But as a player, you know how hard it is to finish when someone bumps into you midair. That, you know, you have to find your body control. You got to find the right touch at the same time. If you're not dunking it, it's super hard. So I personally enjoy, that's probably why I love D-Rose so much. You know, I love seeing people take contact midair and finishing with that jelly. Like, it's hard. It's so hard to do. But the dunk is a lot of fun to watch.
What about for you, Nat? Which do you enjoy more?
Man, at this point, like, EJ and I are just saying the same thing. So in that spirit, I'm going to say the opposite. So I'm going to say that I enjoy seeing the dunk more than the contact and the finishing. I mean, because Zion is a stellar, too. Like, the hops that he has and the bounce that he has is crazy. So in that regards, I definitely think dunking, you know, and they're both special, too. Like, they're both great to watch, but the dunking is a whole other thing, too.
All right, for me... You know, for as long as I've been watching the NBA, what's more impressive to me is him bumping into dudes. And it's not like he's bumping into like point guards or shooting guards. Like he's bumping into big men, like grown men, dudes that are like 6-7 years older than he is. I'm talking about, you know, former defensive players of the year, like a Rudy Gobert or like a, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or you guys saw what he did to Daniel Tyson, you know, what's his name? Thompson? Is it Thompson? Yeah, Thompson from the Celtics.
Tristan Thompson? Yeah.
Tristan Thompson. Like, this dude is completely bodying these guys, not even having to dunk on them. And, like, they're legit, like, flying. Like, I love when he goes up and you see the big man coming in for the contest and they just kind of, like, lose their balance midair and they fall back. Like, I look for stuff like that because that just goes to show you how truly powerful Zion really is, how big-bodied he is. We saw what he did to Rashawn Holmes. Yeah, exactly. He's legit like a freight train. We saw what he did to, you know, Rashawn Holmes and, like, how far he flew into the stanchion just from a little bump from Zion. Like, to me, that's super impressive. Like, that's some bully ball right there. That's the definition of bully ball. Mm-hmm. That's that's wild.
Would you rather take a charge from LeBron or Zion?
LeBron would just flop.
Oh my gosh. Got him.
I'm gonna go with LeBron too then.
I like that question. The next hot topic I want to get into. Bad teammate. I bring this one up. We heard it in the past, right? We talked about this previous times on the show where we said there's two sides to every story. We saw it this season with James Harden. Yes, he wanted out of Houston, but there's a different way he could have gone about it. And nobody really understood why he wanted out of Houston. But then when he comes to the Nets, you realize and you see why that is. Because now he gets to play what he feels comfortable playing as, and which is a point guard. Like, he was tired of having to put up 40-plus numbers, points, in order for his team to win when he was in Houston. Now he can facilitate, you know, deflect to whoever on his team, and he's putting up numbers that are just as bonkers, even more crazy, if you look at it. The reason I bring up the term bad teammate, another person who's always had this term kind of clouded over him was Jimmy Butler, and it goes back to his Chicago days. Do you think it's fair to label somebody a bad teammate when you don't know the full story? That's kind of a rhetorical question. But like, for you and your experience, EJ, like, have you ever been called a bad teammate or known somebody that was referred to as a bad teammate and that just was not the case?
Especially, well, based off like Jimmy Butler and James Harden, it's so hard to really know everything. You know, you don't, as a leader, if you're the leader of that team, it's really hard to really know how everyone else feels because they're all looking to you. You're not really looking to them. And whatever your action does reflects on them just because you're the leader. So like what James Harden did was just like, you know, not showing up to practice, not going to the training camp. It's easy to label him a bad teammate, but you see him, like what you said before, you see him now on the Nets. He's having fun. Everyone loves him. He's doing mad good. So it's really hard. It depends on the person, really, because they kind of just like pick and choose when they want to do it. And especially when you're a player, you know, like James Harden, he could control whatever he wants, basically, based off what he showed on the Rockets. He could leave however he wants and everything. So I don't know. I've never been called a bad teammate. I'm just, I just want to put that out there. But I don't like calling someone a bad teammate. Because like one of my favorite players, Russell Westbrook, has been called a bad teammate.
Yes, sir.
All exactly. His life. I don't know. Actually, don't Wonderfully know. All his NBA career. But from what you've seen from his actual teammates, they love him. They love the leadership he brings. So I wouldn't listen to outside sources. You know, you always have to listen to the people that you're playing with.
Ned, like we live in a society now that's all about like, you know, cancel this person, cancel that person. You know, and we saw it early on with James Harden. I mean, I'm not going to front myself included. You know, I thought he was like really like dramatic, you know, the way he was acting in Houston. Because, again, you know, but I also said, like, we don't know the full story. Do you think for you, like, it's fair to label somebody, like, as a bad teammate?
I mean, I'll put it this way, though. When I saw what went down with James Harden and even Jimmy Butler, too, I think it was mainly just their personality and then the media assuming that they're a bad teammate because they're so strong and because they're so assertive in what they want or in what they do as a player. I think the bad teammate gesture is just plain and simple, just the media trying to put out a narrative or put out something that's like quote unquote juicy material for people to get sucked right into and then believe for James Harden and even Jimmy. So, you know, even though James Harden could have handled it differently, I still think that, you know, he's not really a bad teammate. He was just – he has resorted to what would give him what he wanted. And in that case, being, you know, the strong arm, if you will, in that case, it labeled him as a bad teammate because it didn't seem right or didn't feel right.
Like I'm glad EJ mentioned Russell Westbrook because he's another one. You know, you have guys like James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook being labeled as bad teammates. But at the end of the day, all three of those guys only wanted one thing, and that was to win. It's just the situation that they were in. You know, you could say Chicago, especially after D. Rose, Joakim Noah left, it was just Jimmy. You know, even when D. Wade was there, that team was not going anywhere. And neither of those guys liked the way that the team was headed. So they were labeled bad teammates. Jimmy in Minnesota, he saw early on what we're seeing now. He saw that it was going to be a disaster and he wanted out. And what did they do? You know, they labeled him a bad teammate. Even when he went to Philly, you know, even team executives, you know, front office people were concerned about Jimmy Butler's behavior, saying that, okay, you know, if you re-sign him, you know, can you keep him in check? And he was like, what do you mean keep me in check? Like, I'm a grown man. Like, I keep myself in check. Yeah, I don't need somebody else to hold me accountable. And, like, it's wild to me because I always look at that clip of Jimmy Butler when he was still in Philly. And Landry Shamet had apparently, like, a career night. And reporters were only asking questions to Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler cut it. And he was like, you know what? Let me ask, you know, Landry, you know, how do you feel on your career night? Like, he interviewed his teammate knowing that his teammate had a career night and nobody else was interviewing him. And people want to call him a bad teammate. Mm-hmm. And I bring this up because that label, like Russell Westbrook, James Harden, even Kyrie, we sometimes mention Kyrie on this program. But guys like that, including Jimmy Butler, they're always labeled as a bad teammate. And I brought this up because there was talks that Jimmy Butler was supposed to be the replacement for Kevin Durant for the All-Star reserves. But he decided to turn it down. You know, allegedly he turned it down because Bam wasn't going. He didn't want to be an All-Star because his teammate wasn't an All-Star. And I'm like, man, like, what an awesome teammate. You know, how can you call somebody like this a bad teammate when he truly cares about his team? You know, it's not about the personal accolades. Like, yeah, they're nice. But at the end of the day, all these guys want is to win. And so I feel like media, whoever, you know, even us, because sometimes we fall into the habit of it. Like, we got to watch with the bad teammate or like the cancel society or whatever, canceling this person, that person, because we need both sides to every story. And this kind of segues me into my next topic, because I do owe a sincere apology to LaMelo Ball. I said at the beginning of the season, there's no way he's going to be rookie of the year. You know, I had James Wiseman, like, I didn't see it. You know, you saw the footage of him in Lithuania, in, you know, New Zealand, all these places. And I'm like, there's no way. LaMelo Ball, I know you'll probably never, ever hear this or see this, but I apologize because LaMelo Ball is straight balling. Straight balling. EJ, yes, what's your take on LaMelo Ball? What do you like about his game? What's something that has stuck out to you that you really enjoy about him?
Well, it's... You got to be a real hater to hate LaMelo. I got to be honest with you. If you could hate his dad, you could hate his brother, but you really have to have valid reasons to hate LaMelo because he is just – he took a completely different route to the NBA than others, and he's killing the NBA right now. He's killing it, and I think he's, what, 19, 18?
I think 19.
And he's doing 19? All this.
19.
What was he? The youngest guy to get a triple double.
Yeah.
He's man. He just a. It's just so much fun watching him play too. He makes his teammates better. He can make his own shot. There's nothing you could really dislike about him, other than his dad.
Nat, I owe you an apology too because you and Jay, Jeremy, yeah, you and Jeremy were on LaMelo from like the beginning, like the very beginning. You guys love this guy, and like I just didn't see it, but to see him now, like you know, in his last five games, he's had 30 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 12 assists, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Like this guy is so consistent. What is it exactly about LaMelo that you saw from the very beginning and you're seeing even more so now? What is it about LaMelo?
Oh, man. I have the answer to that question. So the reason why I picked LaMelo Ball in the beginning was because I think that between him and Lonzo, I feel like he was the more unproblematic one in the sense that like he didn't – I don't know. I felt like with Lonzo, there was a lot of attention drawn to him because of LeVar. Because of his crazy jump shot, because of, you know, I don't know, like just his rap career. To yeah, that too. Wow. But I'm, you know, but when it comes to LaMelo Ball, though, like he was just balling. Like that was it. Like, and I saw like, you know, his like, you know, his highlights in the past. And like, it was just really consistent and just really, really good. And for Lonzo, I just didn't feel that way. He was just more like a popular you know, figure or more of like a meme almost. So with LaMelo, it was just different. And I noticed that and I was like, you know what? Like he's going to be a star here. And, you know, in Charlotte, he's really shining bright.
I completely agree with you. And I appreciate the fact that you brought up Lonzo because the main difference I see between these two, especially in their rookie years, their rookie seasons. And what I like a lot about LaMelo is this guy's confidence is through the roof. Like he honestly does not care. Like he's going to figure it out as he goes along. But I feel because he doesn't play with fear, you know, he doesn't have a crazy number of turnovers or like, you know, he's missing a bunch of shots. Like he's playing his game. Whereas Lonzo, I felt like, or especially in the beginning playing in LA, he was probably a little bit intimidated. You know, his confidence wasn't quite there. People were talking about his jump shot. Melo has had the same jump shot, you know, just as long as Lonzo had his, and nobody cared. LaMelo does not care about how bad his jump shot looks. That's how he shoots, and he plays to that strength. I mean, look what happened with Markelle Fultz when people tried to change his shot and how it affected him negatively. And then now, you know, he stopped caring. He was balling at the beginning of the season prior to his injury. And I feel like that's something that LaMelo probably took from those guys is, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do me. I'm going to play the way that I play. And we're seeing the results of that. We're seeing how well his team is doing. And we talked about the Knicks being an exciting team. You know, would you agree, EJ, that like the Charlotte is probably just as exciting?
Yeah, they're exciting for sure. I don't think they're good, but they're pretty exciting. I mean, I love LaMelo. I love Malik Monk. I don't know if anyone else that has the same sentiment, but I love Malik Monk. Terry Rozier, I mean, Devontae Graham, PJ Washington, they're fun to watch. But they defensively is what's missing with them. That's what's making them not really be a winning team in my eyes. But adding LaMelo was a huge boost to them for sure. And their announcers? Their announcers?
Those guys are so hype.
Yo, they make it exciting itself, yo.
They can have their own show, honestly. let me just kind of throw this wrinkle in there because you brought him up. One of my favorite podcasters of all time is Bill Simmons. And he always talks about how he does not give up on Malik Monk. He fully believes in Malik Monk. And he thinks that his future is bright. What is it to you about Malik Monk? Because a lot of people will be sleeping on him, myself included, because you don't see too many highlights of him or like, you know, you might see a few here and there. What is it about Malik Monk that you really enjoy?
I think he's got all the tools to be a great player. I'd say borderline all-star, but at best, you know, a great role player. He could shoot the three. He can pass. His defense has gotten so much better since his rookie year. And especially for, like, people don't give shooting guards, you know, they kind of give them a really short leash when they come in the NBA, especially if you're a lottery pick. But you got, like, I think this is third year? Not too sure. But he's been improving every single year. And that's especially what I love. I mean, he's going through, he had that suspension. I don't know what it was for. I kind of forgot. But he's come back from that and he's playing amazing again. So he's able to adapt. It's just another thing that I love. And he's crazy athletic too.
He is. People be sleeping on his athleticism. For you, Nat, do you think, you know, the Hornets are probably one of the more exciting teams in the NBA right now?
Bruh, I had them in my top eight and you roasted me for that. Remember that? You told me that they were going to make it. And I had him in the top eight. I think they'll be playing probably like eighth or ninth seed going to the play-in seed tournaments. But man, like, even though, you know, their defense is kind of bad, I still have faith in LaMelo Ball. I think he can carry them to at least the play-in tourney. So I believe in him for sure.
Man, wait. LaMelo Ball made me forget that they have Gordon Hayward too.
That's right.
But I was going to say that earlier, but
completely forgot about him.
But I mean, he's putting up like all-star numbers right now. You know, we talked about that last episode. Gordon Hayward is balling out too. And I think he just needed the opportunity to do so. You know, like there was no pressure on him to be successful. Nobody thought he would be successful. And he's proven people wrong. And his numbers show it. His numbers prove it. So I think like right now, they're one of the more exciting teams for me to watch because it's a bunch of guys that people don't really believe in and, you know, don't really give a chance to. And they're showing everybody out. Devontae Graham went undrafted and, you know, he's one of the key players. Terry Rozier was traded away for Kemba Walker and he's proven to Boston that, hey, you shouldn't have given me away because, you know, sad to say Kemba's like injured and stuff, you know, whatnot, but Terry's putting up crazy numbers. Same thing with Gordon. You know, Gordon wanted to be that player and now he has the opportunity to do so in Charlotte and he's proving why he is. And I feel like, finally, for the first time in a long time, Michael Jordan has his thing, like he has it together because he's putting a culture in Charlotte that's like, hey, nobody really believes in you guys. Malik Monk, you know, people forgot about him a couple of years ago. He was irrelevant a couple of years ago. He went from a lottery pick to people sleeping on him. Uh-huh. And like you see the consistent numbers that he's putting in, day out. He's only going to get better, like EJ said. And I feel like this is the type of culture that Charlotte was looking for. They have that now. I honestly think they're only going to get better. I think they're going to be really exciting to watch this season. We'll see what they could do with a shortened, you know, season if they make it into that play-in spot, whatever the case is. I'm rooting for them. I'm sure you guys are rooting for them too. The last thing I wanted to get into, the one time, you know, Charlotte Hornets player who's now currently in the G League, and this is what we'll do to end the show. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, you know, speak your mind on the whole Jeremy Lin situation. Apparently during a G League game, a player allegedly called him coronavirus. And we've seen the rise in like attacks on Asians, you know, violence against Asians, you know, in the last few weeks, last few months even. And us, you know, being Pacific Islander, being Asian, I wanted to get your guys' take on it. I don't mean to make this show like political or whatever the case is, but for you, EJ, like when you hear something like that, you know, knowing what Jeremy Lin had to go through while he was in the NBA, and now for him to make a comeback into the NBA, be in the G League, and have to deal with something like this, what's your take on his situation and whatever you want to speak from your mind?
Ah, oh, man. Race is such a big thing now, and it's really hard to just, you know, say everything you need to say. Because it's just a lot, you know? Growing up, of course, playing pickleball, especially, you know, outdoors, you had to deal with these kind of insults, you know? I've been called Jeremy Lin, Yao Ming, Ching Chong for years. And I pay it no mind because it's just, you know, you just kind of take it in stride. That's what comes. But nowadays, especially where racism is so prevalent, it's you know, you see how badly it's affecting everybody, being called coronavirus, it's just not acceptable. Like, especially how it's affect, like what you said, it's affecting Asian Americans all around. All these attacks. If you didn't see what he looked like or knew where he was from, would you call him that? No. So that's really, that's not real trash talk to me. That's just straight up insulting the person. And I feel like that has no place, especially in a professional, you know, league like the NBA. Pick up whatever, you know, I'll beat you up later if you want me to. in a place where it's your job, it's got no place in there, man.
Now, what's your take on the whole situation?
So first of all, props to Jeremy Lin for, you know, in response to this, you know, to the whole situation, he said, you know, what's the point of tearing someone down? You know, like, even though they're investigating it as they should, I mean, you know, the more important thing is to find resources, learn about, you know, everything that's going on with Asian Americans and the hate crimes, and try to better yourself. So he's just handled it very well, you know, being the bigger person. But in terms of like this on a grander scale, I mean, it's tough being Asian, you know, for the three of us, you know, seeing what's happening, seeing like, you know, what our people have been called, what they've, you know, had to face because of this pandemic and because of the quote unquote ties it has to, you know, this pandemic. But you know, it's when you call someone coronavirus on the court, you're clearly doing it out of hatred. You're not doing it to sway them on the court or to like get them off the rhythm. You're kind of just doing it out of pure hatred. So when I first heard it, I was like, man, that's messed up. Like that's, and you see like just like strangers doing it to other strangers. And, you know, can you imagine just on the court as a professional, like as someone that's, you know, being paid to play the sport that they love, doing that, you know, like that's just crazy to me, you know. And you'd figure that they'd be a lot more mature about it and they'd be a lot more, you know, less racist about it. But hey, that's the world that we live in now, you know, and that's what we have to face. But like Jeremy Lin said, you know, raise awareness to these issues by, you know, learning, getting resources, hearing stories from other people, and, you know, just being better.
I'm all about trash talk. You know, that's basketball. Basketball is all trash talk. But that goes beyond trash talk. Exactly. And, you know, that goes far beyond trash talk. It's completely uncalled for. And I feel like when, you know, you mentioned you're a professional. You guys mentioned you're a professional. And you see what a lot of players are doing now with the voice that they have being professionals. It's all about change, making change. Standing for what's right, using your voice, your platform to do something good, to do something better. And I feel like something like this, you're just setting back your league. You know, everybody's trying to solidify the G League and show like how good of a league it is. And it is a good league. And it's a great avenue for kids to make it to the NBA. But you have something like this and it's kind of like, come on, man. Like you are a semi-professional with the hopes of becoming a professional. And you're not going to, I promise you, you're not going to make it if you're doing stupid stuff like this. You know, I don't care who it is or whatever the case is. Like what Jeremy Lin said, what good does it do? It's all about raising awareness right now. And the times that we live in, it's just so sad to see, man. Like, I don't get it. It's just kind of like, that's the beauty of sports, because you can bond through the sport that you love. Like, leave all that other stuff. Leave that off the court, man. Just like, you don't need that. You don't need, everybody goes through so much already on a daily basis. You don't need to throw something like this on top of it. I feel like people just need to mind themselves. Like, watch what you're saying. Realize who you're saying it to, even if it is quote unquote trash talk. Come on, have common sense. That's just stupidity on their part. Mm-hmm. Something I strongly disagree with. And I just feel so bad for Jeremy Lin, because of everything that he's had to endure and like how the NBA is at one point in time gave up on him. And here he is trying to make it his way back and he has to deal with stuff like this. I feel like Jeremy Lin is going to go down as one of the more underrated players this league has had. I still haven't given up on Jeremy Lin. I think he can help a team. Like I truly believe he is a talented player. I don't doubt it for a second. And I hope he does, you know, get called up from the G League and he's able to prove himself again. I really do. And I wish him the best of luck. And I applaud him and I stand for what, you know, he's saying, trying to raise awareness. I'm all about it, you know, and that just goes to show you the type of fortitude he has, not just as a player, but as an individual. And I think we can all do our part, you know, getting resources, learning more, gaining more knowledge, and helping spread that knowledge, spread that truth. So with that, you know, before we go to wrap up the show, I just wanted to ask if you guys had anything you wanted to plug, anything you wanted to say before we go ahead and we sign off.
I'm good.
Julius Randle should be MVP talks. That's it.
I'm not going to lie. I probably throw him in there for the MVP talks. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. His numbers are crazy. His numbers are crazy.
And we're a winning team now. So they're going
to have a winning team argument. And I just want to say, I said it before the season started. Don't sleep on Julius Randle. I said it. You heard it here first. So with that, we just want to thank everybody for staying tuned, for listening. We hope to see you next week. Listen in next week. Until then, everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and remember to love one another.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.